An 8-year-old boy wrote an essay in school entitled, What a Mom Means to a Kid. He wrote, A mother is a person who takes care of her kids and gets their meals, and if she's not there when you get home from school, you wouldn't know how to get your dinner, and you wouldn't feel like eating anyhow. Now, 10 years later, the mother of that author walked into her son's empty room with that essay, which she had saved, and she was clutching it tightly in her hand, and she cried. She cried because this, her only son, had gone off to college. It was an important time in the boy's life. But he and his mother had been very, very close. And now she was really feeling this deep pain of separation. The mother, shortly before, had visited the college campus and had seen this new world that would now be her son's, but it would not be hers. She said it was a kind of dying. But then after she had shed those first tears, she discovered that if, and as she did, reached down to the very roots of her Christian faith, she made a wonderful discovery. She said, the most marvelous thing happened. I discovered that because I was able to relinquish him, I was able to let him go, he was now able to love me in a new and better way. And now our relationship is better than it has ever been before. She said, in time I discovered also that for me as a mother, my life now had become enriching. I could do things now that I was not free to do before while he was still home. It was now a new life for me also. The experience, she said, was not only a kind of dying, it was really a kind of resurrection. Now that's a very simple incident. But if only we could see that mother's experience in the light of what Jesus is telling us in today's scripture, then our lives too could also be transformed. You remember that in the early chapters of the Gospel of John, the good news of the Father's love for us is proclaimed as resurrection power. There are given a whole series of resurrection signs in those chapters. The mighty works of Jesus are recalled. The first of the great signs comes in the story of the wedding feast at Cana in Galilee. And in that episode, Jesus is saying that God the Father is always working through him to transform. Transformation. Transforming water into wine. Transforming sickness into health, healing. Sorrow into joy, and above all, death into new life. And that last sign of the great signs of Jesus appears in the 11th chapter of John, the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Now that is the episode in which Jesus finally says, I am the resurrection and the life. And from that point on, the resurrection power of God is personified in the very person of Jesus. The resurrection power of the Father is personified in Jesus himself. Jesus now is the person, the ultimate sign of God's resurrection majesty. And this Jesus, who came to bring the good news of God's love for us, who came to give us light, new hope for the future. This Jesus, who is the very personification of this resurrection power of the Father, this Jesus was crucified. But from the very beginning, the Christian community has always attached a special meaning to Jesus' death that goes far beyond the agony of the crucifixion. This death is a death that gives life. In the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the Almighty God is saying to us, I love you, and I love you so much that I will go to this extreme to show you how the power of my love conquers everything, even your own death. At the same time, as the New Testament continues to point out, death is death. And we need to understand the pain that is there before we are able to appreciate the incredible wonder of the mystery of resurrection. The New Testament tells us that death is real death, that there is pain, anxiety, fear, anger, deprivation, loneliness. All of this must be endured because of our human condition. But at the same time, the New Testament scripture is telling us that the resurrection power of God is present in this very process of suffering and dying that we all go through 1,000 times in our lives. The mysterious spirit, the mysterious presence of the living God is always there in this process of dying that we are constantly undergoing in our lifetime. Like that grain of wheat that falls to the ground, the resurrection power of God moves us through these very pangs of dying into the birth of new life. Obviously, this afternoon, there are many of us right here in this chapel going through dying experiences, as we have gone through during the past week. You have, and I have. They come to all of us, frequently, and in 100,000 different fashions. That's why the best-selling book, Passages, became a bestseller. Among other things, it reminds all of us that as we go through the various stages, passages of life, each one of them is a kind of dying. Whenever there's a need that we discover to let go of certain things in life, it signifies that you will never again be the same person that you were. It's another kind of dying. For any of you, to enter middle age is a kind of dying. There are doors that close to women and men at middle age that will never be open again after middle age. It's a little death. Beyond middle age, as one by one your friends begin to go, then each departure is a kind of dying for you, a kind of dying for all of those persons left behind to read the obituary page. And that's why the cross that Paul preaches today, a stumbling block to some, he says, absurdity to other, is really, Paul says, the cross of death, but rather the cross of death transcended. Jesus does indeed promise that death will have no power over him, and he promises that eventually death will have no power over any one of us either. And the secret of transcending death, which is revealed to us in today's epistle and gospel, is simply the secret of bravely accepting death and then to go on living, hopefully, despite it. That is the secret of transcending death. Simply to accept it as a fact and then to go on living. That's transcending it. And here's what psychological research tells us, that we human beings always come to terms with death not at the time of our fatal illness, but rather we human beings come to terms with death in our early 40s and middle 40s. Now, if at the time in those 40s you surrender to death's despair, then you stop growing psychologically and humanly, and you spend the rest of your lives simply waiting to die. We had a funeral during the past week where the man whose funeral was celebrated spent the last 20 years actually just waiting to die. He had given up. It was sad. But on the other hand, all studies indicate that those people who determine to live a rich and full life despite the inevitability of death, which they've accepted, those people then enter a period of life that is filled with tremendous creativity, tremendous growth, and great satisfaction. And so there are differences of degree among all of us here in this room this afternoon. Most of us tend one way or the other. Either we give up and wait for death, or rather, we live fully despite death. And so the cross that St. Paul preaches about today, the cross that Jesus does expect, is the cross that transcends death. He who wins a victory over death, any one of us, by not allowing it to blight the remainder of life that is still left for us, that person, you and I, we already have tasted the very first fruits of the new life of resurrection. We've accepted death, but we've transcended it, and we go on living creatively and with satisfaction. Now, we know from publications that the many scholars and medical people who have interviewed people who have been medically dead and then resuscitated report that really death is not the kind of terrible experience that so many people are led to expect. The people who have come back tell us reassuringly that it is really a wonderful experience filled with peace and with hope. Now, it's true that such reports are simply hints, and they're not a substitute for faith. But they are hints that in the final analysis, what so many of us fear most is simply, largely, an illusion. Now, in the last 32 years that I have been a priest, I have helped at least 500 people die graciously. But some of them came back, not to haunt me, but rather they were resuscitated, and they never stopped trying to tell me what a wonderful experience it really was, and they were never happy again with anything this life was able to offer them. They wanted finally to die. I guess the music was great, the colors were coordinated, and it was a wonderful, magnificent human experience. As far as I'm concerned, it's the one final adventure that I look forward to. And so on this Lenten weekend, for those of you who are in that stage where death is a fear, remember that it is mainly an illusion. And if you're that afraid, that to the extent that maybe you've stopped living fully, then ask yourself, in the springtime season of the year, what is it you can do to start living again? Above all, remember that already now you carry within yourself the resurrection power of the risen Christ. And that resurrection power is nourished, strengthened, fortified here each weekend in the Eucharist. We are not the Church of the Resurrection for nothing.